Welcome to Riley on Film. I'm your host, Damian Riley. You can find out more and subscribe for free always at RileyOnFilm.com. Now, on with the show. Okay, I'm here to talk to you today about The Dawn. First, the synopsis. Following the murder of her family at the hands of her father in the wake of World War I, a young woman goes to live in a convent. However, the demons that plagued her father follow, reawakening the nightmares of her past. The main poster for the movie shows a crying nun, crying in blood. Half of her face is cracking apart. The other half appears to be normal. And we are left to figure out what it all means. The Dawn 2020 is a drama horror thriller film now available to watch on Prime Video. In fact, it was released in June. So just a week ago or so. It stars Devaney Penn in the lead role, known for Crossbreed 2019, Casey Anthony in American Murder Mystery 2017. By the way, she has no nude scenes that I know of. Please inform me if you know of any. I'm asking for a friend. Stacey Dash also plays a small role. She is from Clueless. It was apparently received record rentals, is what I saw in quite a few social media posts I read. As an indie director, he broke through that way and made a name for himself that everybody was getting these Redbox rentals of his movie. I am sad to say this will not be breaking any rental awards anywhere anytime soon. But I'm glad his other one did. I just tried looking it up and couldn't find it, but I will definitely look for it because I'd like to see the way he looks at movies. I don't think I got it from this one. I don't even think Stacey Dash's fame could help this plot and production we call a film. While the creepy moments, or attempts at creepy moments, are indeed present, this film doesn't present its intent until the last 4 minutes. At that point, it disjointedly claims to be a prequel to the Amityville Horror. Every horror fan knows the bar is extremely high for any movie that would try to be a prequel to that. Perhaps that's why the director didn't reveal it was meant to be until the end. So there isn't so much pressure and judgment early on. The production and plot sink it. And an example of things going right that I'm thinking of would be The Exorcist. We know why, we know how the young girl gets possessed, and it gives us permission to be scared, repulsed, disgusted, etc. Who can forget that lovely pea soup scene? The Dawn doesn't even try to work possession in. There's a brief encounter with a great-grandfather who is Native American. But even that scene gives us little to go on as this mystery of possession ensues. I waited painstakingly through this film. I hoped it would get some traction. I wanted the lead actor to branch out. After all, she is sexy, and I wanted to see more of her. Nude scene, anyone? Do I hear a two? Do I hear a three? Okay. Yeah, I hear a million. That might be one reason she and the other nuns had makeup on. You know, because they're glamorous people. Your guess is as good as mine, but I call it a blooper. Mistakes like that are throughout the film. If a director sets out to make a religious-based demon possession film, they should spend time, not just renting a cathedral, which they did get an awesome cathedral, but actually spending time doing research of the day-to-day stuff around possessions. For me, the convent was not like the Catholic Church that I have observed. Maybe showing us more of how it worked would help us believe the possession scenes. Probably the biggest movie turnoff for me was when the psycho dad was killing his wife and children room by room. Incidentally, this is in like the first 8 minutes of the movie. With a giant knife. The knife never gets an ounce of blood on it. The writing in this scene is also to blame because they don't adequately show how this poltergeist or demon made its way into the dad in the first place. The beginning of the film is particularly awful, and yet it spends the whole beginning credits showing a completely disjointed image of beautiful American farm landscapes and bridge scenes. I think the movie suffers from an identity crisis. You can't know what you want to be until you know what you don't want to be, and I don't think it's an American photography journey. It's supposed to be a horror movie. This is a case for making a well-thought-out storyboard as a rough draft. Free tip to directors. Of course, my tongue is firmly in my cheek, and I'm joking around, but wouldn't hurt. It seems no one was consulted because these scenes are juvenile, if not completely uninformed about possession movies. It has a TV-14 rating. I would personally like to request a Devani Penn nude scene in her next film, please. Everyone in favor say aye. In conclusion, there really isn't much to tell about The Dawn. We all need background knowledge to understand any film we weren't given very much here by our director. When we don't have that background knowledge, then the director needs to already know that and put it into the film somehow to provide that background knowledge so we get what is going on. That is not provided here in a sufficient way. Although it had some creepy moments that I indeed treasured, for the most part, this film failed to live up to the standard of a good possession film. I want to let all you guys know now as I close that I'm taking a step and branching out to have some guests on my show. And maybe it'll last, maybe it won't. To be honest, I'm not a very good manager of my time. So the whole having guests thing is really tough for me. But I read an article that said if you want to get more people to, hear what you're doing, it's not necessarily what you need to do is to buy $400 worth of advertising. Not necessarily. That's good. But in addition to that, it recommends having guests because when the guests come in, they see what you're doing. And, even if you're just getting that guest to become refamiliarized with your show, that's worth it on its own. But then chances are they'll probably post that they were on the show. They might talk to one person about it, and hey, that's one more person that I didn't have thinking about Riley on film until they said something. So I take these people very seriously. These are old friends of mine that I've done shows with on my previous show I did with Darren Lucas called Talking Stars. And I kind of basically went into my archives and looked on my Twitter of all the people that were still hanging around. And so far, I have 8 people that would like to be on the show. So it may even extend beyond summer. I'm looking to do it probably one every 2 weeks or one every week. No more than that, just because family stuff we have going on around the house. It's just hard to find a space sometimes. And, I teach at the community college here, Victor Valley College, and I'm working on a class, and my wife does doing therapy. She's actually going back into the office now, but she was doing it on Zoom as I was doing it on Zoom, and then I have a tutor job that I do online. that I do on Zoom. So there's a lot of stuff going on. Plus, I'm trying to write a song. So I usually don't throw this long of a commentary at the end, but I'm just so excited about the guests. I don't have a list of them to read to you. I'll read them next time I post. But I just want to thank everybody for being there and supporting me in this thing that I dream of doing, which is talk about movies with y'all. Well, that's the end of another episode of Riley on Film. I certainly hope you enjoyed it. Hey, if you did enjoy the show, can I ask you a favor? To sustainably grow this audience, I need people to do three things. One, subscribe to the show, rate my show, and number three, please review my show. Whenever someone does one of these three things, it provides a boost for this show's growth. Thanks for doing your part. Now, get all that horror movie stuff flying in formation in your brain and have a great day.